Yeah. Oh, hold on. Wait, Bob's on. Bob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, man, say hey to Cody Wilson, Davi Barker, and me, man. We're just partying, talking all about you.
Morning.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up?
Yeah, did you hear about Cody Wilson's new thing, Hatreon?
Oh, God.
No, I haven't.
He's got a new Patreon clone that you can't get kicked off called Hatreon.
That's a catchy title.
Yeah, I might as well just skip to the end. You know that's what they're going to call it, so you don't piss them off. You know, it's going to be... And anybody can be on there. Even the alt-right. Especially! You know, that's our tin can of making sure when they start getting hellfire missiled, then you know. Hey, I got to get going with Bob here, Cody. Stay in touch, man. Yeah, this is awesome. I'm all in. You send me my thing, and we'll get it going, and I'll work on it, start pumping it, and hopefully I got artwork and graphics that I can use to, or banner ads or something?
For what, for Patreon?
Yeah.
I haven't made any ads or anything. I don't know. I'll send Don some shit at some point.
Yeah. Let's do it. You know, let's get set and whatever and piss them off. I mean, hell, Newsweek's already doing you. I mean, you know.
Awesome. All right, man. Yeah, well, thank you.
All right. Peace, brother. Talk to you later. Okay. Wow, there's so much to talk about, Bob. I am just like, did you hear the show with Tom that I did?
I did, yes.
Did you hear the show I did with Nick?
No, I didn't hear that one.
I had Nick on last week, came on. All right, give me your spiel, man. What the hell are you making an effort to go after Ron Paul, Lou Rockwell, Bob Murphy, Tom Woods, you know, it's got all these guys, Jeff Deist and Mises. I mean, what could possibly going through your mind? You know, and he had a reason. He explained it to me. It's awesome. You're going to have some fun. So we'll talk about it here in just a little bit. We'll be back in 10 seconds and we'll get going right in the middle of it. And then we'll go over in the first break after we get there, we'll go on some of the other stuff, make sure we want stuff you want to talk about. But here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Remember, we are not afraid!
It's Unabeard Day! Unabeard, 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 here in Declare, your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA YouTube studios of Freedoms of the Nast 36 .com. Oh, it must be a good .com day. All right, what we're going to do is Bob Murphy. We're going to get into it. How much can we do in four segments of getting into it? And we have all kinds of crazy stuff going on. We got Bernanke speaking at cryptocurrency, you know, conferences. What the hell is that going on? There's going to... I'm sorry, what?
Helicopter coin.
That's good. Helicopter coin. I like that. That's good. Okay, and then we have, you know, Paul Krugman. You know, I'm wondering how much he's got to get a beat down by, you know, Bob Murphy, you know, before he finally, you know, capitulates and, you know, coughs blood and says no mas. No mas, no mas. Okay, well, let's talk about Bob Murphy. Robert Pay Murphy is research assistant professor with the Free Market Institute at Texas Tech University. He's an associate scholar with the Mises Institute and a research fellow with the Independent Institute. He is the author of Choice, which is an introduction to the work of Ludwig von Mises. Other books include The Politically Incorrect Guide to Capitalism and The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Great Depression and the New Deal. Murphy has written several other books, as well as hundreds of articles promoting liberty and explaining the market economy to the layperson. Along with Tom Woods, Murphy co-hosts the popular podcast Contra Krugman. which every week dissects the latest New York Times column from economist Paul Krugman, which is, you know, blah, blah, gobbledygook, and it's all coming down right now. It's easy to make fun of him. All right. So Bob Murphy has been at least on the sidelines watching or in the middle of the fray as the it seems to me, this is, I had Tom Woods on to talk about from his perspective. I had Nick Sarwark on the show from the, he's the chairman of the Libertarian Party. And Bob Murphy's there watching this. I don't know how in the middle of it you are, but it has been a concerted effort. And they'll go, Coke-tapus, you say that, and Coke, we don't know. I'm going, who do you think you're talking to, man? I go, this is, they got their tentacles, Coke-tapus is out there. There is something that they want, and they get what they want. They want control. They always have. I've been dealing with this since the late 80s, early 90s. This has never gone away. When you had the Lovolution, you get real popular guys, got their vlogs, they're doing real good. You know, all of a sudden, boom, they get a little Coke money and they pull it in. Davi's got stories, you know, of this. We'll get into that story. I thought was interesting, you know, about how they function in this political atmosphere. And when you have the Lovolution and Ron Paul and Mises and Lou Rockwell and Bob Murphy and Jeff Deist and Tom Woods, and then all of a sudden from out of the blue at a conference, they mention the word Rothbard, and boom, they go after them, and they try to associate you with the alt-right. This guy, oh, they're alt-right. We're not alt-right, guys, and signed a petition if you're not alt-right. Well, what happens? Cody Wilson just comes up with, Patreon, you don't have, you will not get bumped off for being crazy, even libertarian crazy. So I'm going, there is pushback, and I'm loving it, but I need Bob Murphy to tell me what the hell is going on, Mr. Bob Murphy. Hello.
Well, thanks for that introduction and a good setting the table. Yeah, so I mean, I'm not nearly as much in the middle of things as some of these other names you're bringing up. But yeah, from my perspective, I mean, I'm more of, you know, academic, just doing my work, minding my own business, you might say. And yeah, I just noticed that recently somebody brought to my attention that Sarwark, am I saying his name right? It's Sarwark. Is that how you pronounce it?
That's how I say it.
You know, somebody just said, hey, did you see this? And, you know, he just, this is a while ago. This is like a few months ago, I think, just out of the blue takes a shot at Rothbard. Which just, you know, surprised me, because I just figured you're the head of the Libertarian Party. Clearly, many rank and file libertarians with a small L, you know, read Rothbard at some point, and that probably helped them along their evolution, you know, in terms of the theory and so on. So that just seemed odd to me. And then, yeah, like you say, the reason I got sucked into it is he took a shot at Tom. That, you know, we had Mises University, and Tom, the opening lecture was what I learned from Murray Rothbard. And truly, there was nothing about political strategy in that talk at all. And Sark retweeted it and said something like, you know, that the feeling went, all I got from Rothbard was a failed political strategy, which was just, you know, like, why would you do that?
Yeah,
you know,
based on what? Yeah, see, there's failed political strategy is how much money the LP made, how many people they got elected, how successful are they inside this corrupt system of blah, 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 and how many invitations they get to the Republican Party Christmas party in Washington, D.C. I mean, you know, weird metrics that they're using. And when they go after the Rothbard, this is so that you know the history. In the 90s, when we're being all, you know, we're in our early 30s and we're out being all kind of kick ass and Arizona, the libertarian state, it says in the Wall Street Journal, and we're doing, it's always Arizona. We're leading the pack on, there was a reason for that, because we were taking on kind of the methods of L. Neil Smith, which was Rothbard. And as time goes on, we see how influential Rothbard, Oswald, the early guys that influenced us. So they'd always go, you Rothbardians, as if they were calling me a racial slur or something. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? You go, because I didn't know. I didn't come up that way. I came out from the street. So I read Rothbard, and I'm going, yeah, what he said. And I'm going, why would you think that's a bad thing? Well, they need it to be a bad thing, because Rothbard was outside of this. It was more a cultural thing that drove everything, and they don't like that. And you represent that in Mises, and they are going after you for that.
Okay, I mean, I guess I could see that, but I don't see. I mean, again,
no,
you know this history more than I do.
It's so dumb. It's dumb.
It seems like an unforced error. Like, because, you know, I have no problem with, you know, the people. We have differences about the campaign, Gary Johnson, whatever. But, you know, I get people are going the LP route, and fair enough. You know, I have no ill will towards those people.
This is their argument. That uh-huh. this opens up the door for the libertarian movement to have, you know, alt-right people, whatever the hell that means anyway, you know, well, anything that's a Trump supporter. If they voted for Trump and they all of a sudden discover libertarianism, they're not allowed. If they support Lenin and they discover libertarianism, oh, we'll let them in. That's not a problem. You know, but the alt-right thing is that they're so worried about that for some reason, but I go, Nick, in the off air, it's still in the archive. We just did it last week. And I go, while you're giving them crap, you have a presidential candidate that advocated for a tax, a VP candidate that right before the election vouched for Hillary. You got a big giant log sticking out of your eye socket and you're giving them crap? What the hell, man? He goes, well, that was so like 2016. So they're not going to win this one, and I'm just glad because they got Bob Murphy on, you know, to go up against. So it's going to be fun.
But I mean, is it? I'm just curious, Lynn. I will go review that episode. I wish I had realized you had him on. But is it more like an ethical thing? Like, oh no, we just don't want to be associated with it, or is it a strategic thing? I just because strategically, I don't understand how that helps the LP
money.
At all.
Why do you think they wanted Bill Weld, Mr. Counsel on Foreign? They screwed New York. He's got all kinds of problems and doing and did. It was all just money. It's the same thing with Barr. It was the same thing, the promises of Wayne Allen Root. It's the same thing, you know, what they thought they were going to do in the Johnson campaign. And they bring in Weld. It's the same thing. It's all about Christmas invitation to the party of Washington, D.C., of whatever the hell is going on. That's what this whole thing is about. Philosophy and the Ron Paul Revolution and Woods and you and all this stuff coming out. You don't even know they're on your radar screen. You're a big giant blip to them, and they got to rise up by taking you down. This is it's going to be like the Ron Paul letters of they don't like, you know, minority of whatever, even though you go down to the smallest minority, the individual. Try and carve that up, you sons of
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
All right, this is the deal. What was the question that you had, Davi? You wanted to make a point.
Historically, libertarianism pulls more from the right, that you get people who are sort of economically literate, who sort of piece it together, and then they figure out liberty, and they move from Republican to libertarian. And so at a libertarian convention, the majority of people are coming from the right. So I wonder if they've decided, like, we've already sucked up everyone from that side of the aisle we can. It's time for us to focus on this side of the aisle and draw people from this way.
I think they just feel they can control them better because the beginning of the Libertarian Party was what? Anti-war.
Yeah.
You know, drugs.
But that message
guns.
Is off the table. Like, war hasn't been a central part of anybody's dialogue in forever.
It was in 06 when they wanted to get Pelosi elected.
Yeah, I know.
And Obama elected. They say all kind of anti-war they are until they're not. You know, this is, and this is what, I don't get the impression that Mises is looking for any particular anything or just advocating for. Bob, what's your point?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, just along those lines. I mean, that's what I mean. Ron Paul was, I mean, his big thing was anti-Fed to be sure, but he was also anti-war. I mean, that's why he was considered, you know, unelectable for the Republicans. So it's, I think you're right, Ernie. I mean, on the surface, doesn't make much sense. And also, that's what I'm saying strategically. If you go out of your way to say, you know, oh, these, we don't like these crazy right wingers. And yeah, I guess you might think you're going to pull in some from the left, but wouldn't you also just alienate all the people from the right by doing that? By implying that they're all neo-Nazis or something.
They are just a tool. They're the insulation. They're the face. They're the influence. There's just one more in the tapestry of they, them, those that won't leave me alone. That is, they've been this way since I can remember. You know, the LP has just been a tool, you know, for like ever. It's like, yes, everybody get on YouTube so that we can ban you. You know, so I'm... This is clear to me. I used to be the kid. I was always, I didn't know. And now I'm like, I still don't. I don't care. You know, but it, you know them by their fruits, man. And I'm telling you, these birds of a feather flock together and they be flocking over at the LP. But in Orlando, I saw at least a third or more of the LNC got changed over and carved off a bunch of these guys. And the tone of the people, strong opposition to what they, you know, bust in and were able to accomplish with Weld. But there's a big growing thing. So when we go to New Orleans, I'm encouraged to go to New Orleans for the LP convention this next summer. And I'm going, you know, you guys just keep your crap up. We're going to make you have to bus a bunch of people in because we're going to go and partay and just have a good time, have some debate and rock and roll and whatnot. You know, for what? I don't know. Do what Badnarik did in 10. He gave the eulogy of the Libertarian Party. Here's your 04 candidate coming up in 10, giving the eulogy of the Libertarian Party for just these reasons. All right, here we come.
.fm. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back with Bob Murphy saying, yo, what's up? This is the battle. Everybody's going, well, why are you always fighting each other? Why do I go, traitors first. Traitors first. Yeah, blah, blah, blah over there. Traitors first. You know, the ones that are just kind of, you guys want to play? You want to play? You want to play? I like playing because controversy creates commitment and awareness. This is the battle. They're always going to get from the inside. They're never going to come at you from the outside. That's what gives you strength. It always comes at you from the inside. But they picked on the wrong freaking people, man. I'm going, are you sure you want to play this game? When we got Patreon being started by Cody Wilson just for this reason. But that's even before the distributed internet. You know, I mean the decentralized internet be a coming. So I'm really looking forward to this with Bob Murphy and Tom Woods and Ron Paul and Lou Rockwell and Jeff Deist. I mean, man, you couldn't pick, you know, better people to align with to go up against they, them, those. So, Bob, you know, what's the future, man? Where do you see this argument going, or do you guys even care?
Well, again, I mean, I don't get all into the political stuff usually. I mean, again, I don't fault anybody for going that route. Probably when I was younger, I was more interested in that. But, you know, I just focus on the ideas. And that's kind of was so surprising to me about this, because I thought that, you know, kind of like Mises Institute, we focus on educating young people, just teaching them, you know, how would a free society work. And the people, you know, in the LP, and they're trying to do their thing. And, you know, okay, I get that division of labor. So that's kind of how I, you know, that's what I figured it was like it. So that's why the recent hostility sort of surprised me, because it just seemed out of the blue.
I don't get the reason for it is my problem. Like I'm trying to come up in my mind with a reason that this is strategic, right? That there's a reason why they're like reading the temperature in the room and telling themselves, oh, well, this is the way we get new recruits, is by getting on board with this popular sentiment. But like, I'm having trouble holding that thought. You know what I mean?
Ernie, maybe you can, because again, you seem to say like, God, it all makes sense. I'm genuinely curious, because I would think, you know, next election, if he's still in office, you know, who knows if he gets impeached or whatever. But if Trump's running again, I think there's a lot of Republicans that wouldn't like him, and so wouldn't. But they're not going to like the Democrats. So you know, you would think, why can't the LP just say, look, we're not partisan. We're, you know, consistent message of liberty. And there you go. I don't see why they would go out of their way to say, oh, we hate Trump more than we hate the Democrats.
I mean, why what? Why would they come? I mean, what's the reason for coming after you or having this argument or taking that? What's your question?
I'm saying I would think if I were running the LP that I would want to not go out of my way to antagonize. Like you said earlier, they want to make it clear that Trump voters aren't welcome. And I'm saying, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you say, oh, yeah, maybe you made a mistake. You hated Hillary. Fine. But guess what? We're more consistent than Trump. Be a libertarian.
No. You're misunderstanding. The okay. Libertarian p- party itself, regardless of what the LNC, they understand that you can control, Keith, you can control the Libertarian Party with a $10,000 donation. You know, so see, it cost $100,000. Oh, we can just go around and do this and say that and promise them this and we'll give you and all kinds of big and everything and they're all on board. Crap, man, that's all you had to say. We just gonna do that then. And they do it over and over and over. So to think that their goal is, you know, this is the point. I've run for national chair of the Libertarian Party 4 times. I don't think a lot of people know that. In 04, Charles Goyette and I went to Atlanta because Neil Bortz was there going, a little Afghanistan war is good. We got to be for the war and you get more money in the war. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? So here's two talk show hosts, Charles Goyette and myself, go in there right at the same time or another breakout room going, are you freaking kidding me? This is not going to go well. In 06, we knew what they were doing. They were stripped the entire platform that was built over years to define libertarianism. They had to eliminate, delete, bus in the people, proxy, do it, everything they could, lie on the vote. I mean, it was amazing to strip the platform so that Bob Barr could be the nominee in 08. Then we're going, oh, yay, that's a solution. And then in 10, it was Wayne Allen Root going for the national chair. In every one of these, it's all an effort to just get money that people promise if they would only. And this has been the power struggle since forever, and how Rothbard started Cato with, you know, the Koch brothers back in the day. And he was a little bit too kind of principled and so on. And no, so they couldn't take over the party from the tie-dye wearing, long hair, dope smoking libertarians in convention. And the way the structure of the party was, 7/8 in the convention to change a bunch of stuff. And they're like, well, we could never. So we're taking our football and going over here. And they've been in opposition to the anarchist inside the libertarian movement forever. The libertarian movement is so much larger outside the Libertarian Party that they have to go after the point people to try and step on them to get bigger. They just can't. This has been what I've been pointing, the reason I've run every time. And I may do it in New Orleans again. No camp, just show up and say, put me up there. We're going to discuss it. Because I am so sick of this because it happens not most of the time or a lot, every time. Every time you have these people, they're just water carriers for the people, the money, using the Libertarian Party to try and steer the movement towards statist, whatever the hell that they're trying to do. It is not a freedom thing. It's a control thing. And that's why they're doing it. Once you understand that, once you see it, once you see that this is just a money conduit to be whatever the hell it is they want it to be, then you understand what they're doing and why. And it was so neon obvious. And when they came after you guys, I go, man, you guys are stupid. But they were given marching order, or they were given the light, or they were encouraged. There's a bunch of Hollywood money if, and you got to separate from and do this, sign this, and don't say that, and you're using the wrong words or something. And I'm like, what the hell are you? I get it. It's the same thing all over again in my mind, and is why you're on this show right now. In my opinion.
Do we lose you?
Well, I guess my follow-up question, I mean, you've been around more than I have. You see these patterns, but the people who are, you know, funding this then, are you saying they're doing that just because they have misguided views about strategy, or they want the LP to be ineffective so that they just take it out of play?
If you ain't with us, you're against us. If you're not, they're the alliance, 2x2 hands of blue, going getting all the smart and influential people, and if you're not working for the state, you sure as hell ain't working for somebody else. It's the same mentality. I give you a good example. Davi, tell them the story about the meetup that you guys had. And this, I hear it over and over and over. It's a tapestry across the country. And I'm going to have him explain this in a second, but we're coming up against a break, so we'll do it when we come back. But
sure.
This is the one thing that I noticed. When the internet first started, it was 1993 when we got our first internet. Email account. And when we got the email account, we were communicating on issues, you know, like Second, First Amendment, you know, all this libertarian stuff around the country. And what we realized, it was the same legislation all the way down to the municipal level. You know, it's City of Phoenix and Hartford had the exact same legislation to try and control fill in the blank. And we're going, this is a national effort. It's an international effort. This is a central planned effort. What the hell? And the same thing is going on now. We talk about this. You know, if they get involved in this, they start doing this, you're going to find out that activists all over the country are going to recognize the same pattern because that's how they operate. And we're going to expose it. I'm just going, bring it on like Donkey Kong, New Orleans. Bring it on.
So the protection.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun. I'm going to have, you think you can do it twice? You know, we can talk about it now and then we can summarize
no
it.
Problem.
All right, go ahead and listen to this, Bob. It's for the archive anyway. All right, tell him, Dobby.
So I used to, this was during the Ron Paul 2008 campaign. I don't know if you remember. Did you ever come across Liberty on the Rocks?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they'd meet on meetup.com and it was like a social. Like, we're all going to meet in this bar. And it's not about activism, and it's not about organizing. It's about socializing with people we don't have to argue with, right?
Right, right.
And then all of a sudden, Coke money showed up. And the Coke money came with some conditions. One, there had to be a named organizer. It wasn't just, like, people showing up at the same bar spontaneously. It was like, now there's got to be a person who's, like, the ambassador to the money. And there had to be a guest list, meaning people that showed up who were going to collect email addresses or something like that. And in exchange, they got a banner to put on the table so that when people showed up, they knew, here's Liberty on the Rocks with the Coke logo. And they made, like, stickers, or they had some budget for just trash for people, right? And so for a little while, this is, like, a funded event and whatever. And then maybe a month into it, maybe a couple months into it, they decide, you know what, we're not funding this anymore. And so then the money disappears, which means that the stickers disappears and the organizer isn't an organizer anymore. And lo and behold, the whole thing disbanded. People stopped going. So you went from an event that didn't have a budget and didn't need a budget to an event that had a budget to an event that doesn't exist.
And if you look at Porkfest, you'll see now up on the wall back there, last couple of years, you know, Reason Magazine, Coke Industries. They do the exact same thing that any and every successful freedom, spontaneous order, developed, whatever, they run in to either control it or to kill it. It's either part of the alliance or you're not there. This is, I see it over and over. After 30 years, you start to see a pattern, man. And I'm telling you, it's intentional.
Huh. Okay, and you think that it's just a matter of wanting to control the narrative? And, like, if you have people,
like,
who are
politics,
outside the orbit?
What's politics? Politics is just like a block of votes. It's a big suitcase, and they want to put all these votes into a case and whoever controls the handle. And they can't control the case or the block of votes without a handle. See, this is why I always do the thing called Steiger's Law. It was a curmudgeon politician here, kind of a long story. But this is Steiger's Law that I go by all the time, and my audience hears it all the time. Whenever you create an organization around a movement or cause, sooner or later, not most of the time, every time, the organization becomes more important than the reason you created it. This is what they have to have, a leader. That's the first thing. There has to be a designated person. There has to be a designated committee. There has to be a 501, blah, blah, blah. There has to be, because if you don't have a handle, you can't control the block. And all they want is that block. And what they do is they get in, they get every email that they can, and then boom, they're off. That's it. Got to have a database, and they get the database. So this is it. It's rote, man. I mean, it's every single time. This is the method.
Oh no, that's interesting. I was thinking that it was some sort of a ploy, like a maneuver. Like, if you give someone money and then take money away, they'll fall apart. But,
yeah, well, that
but
too.
What you just said makes sense, too. It could be that they just sucked up all of the data, and now they're like, there's no reason for us to continue. We got the guest list.
It's all about data. Ask Ron Paul. The whole evolution is about data. His run in 88 was about data. You know, it's the Liberty Report and all that, you know, and Kent Snyder, that was all his data. It's all about the database. All right, here we go.
At LRN.FM.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Wow! 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 I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would
Man,
not.
Man, on the subject of...
So good! So good! I got my burger.
I got you!
guy keeps grinding mode, I'm just like, man, we gonna get some. Okay. Dobby, you were gonna say what? You know, it feels
just,
like what?
It's a small tangent, just because that song is from the Mrs. Doubtfire soundtrack. Just on the subject of like how crazy the narrative has become on the left, I read this huge article about how Mrs. Doubtfire is like the most transphobic movie in existence, and I'm like, but it's not what it's about at all. Like,
they just make it up, man. I just saw that they have a theater that refusing to show Gone with the Wind because it's too insensitive.
Yeah. Did you hear the eclipse is racist?
Why?
The solar eclipse that happened. This is a big law professor in like Brooklyn or something, like, and wrote this big thing that went viral about how the eclipse is racist. And the reason is because if you look at the band through the country where the visibility was the best, the demographics of that band were disproportionately white compared to the demographics of the rest of the nation. And so it's actually a white privilege to be able to watch the eclipse.
So the... Seriously, you know, astronomical heavenly bodies are racist.
That's right.
They got it going. We got everybody against us.
That's
kind of
right.
Thing. Oh my God.
Yeah, that one was really surprising because it's not even like you could argue, you know, oh well, the way society responded, because nobody was making housing decisions, you know, decades ago based on this eclipse that we knew was going to happen in 2017.
We need a Department of Astrological Equality.
Okay, now we were explaining to Bob, and we'll do this for the audience, and real quick, your experience of the meetup that started in the 08 and it's successful and it's going, and then here come the coctopus. Go ahead and explain, you know, what happened.
Yes, this was in 2008 when people were campaigning for Ron Paul, and there was a group called Liberty on the Rocks, and Liberty on the Rocks wasn't an activist thing, it was a social thing. It was just a way for people, after their activism, to get together and socialize in a place where they didn't have to argue about politics with people. And there was no funding. It was just created on meetup.com.
Very
organized
successful.
On
you
Facebook.
You go to
100
people will be there, 20 people, 200 people.
And so I used to attend one, and then like suddenly Coke money shows up, and suddenly this event is funded by Coke, which is bizarre because it didn't have any funding anyway. It was just people meeting in a bar. But now the Coke money came with some conditions that meant that there had to be like a named organizer that they could interact with. That person had to collect a guest list of people to just sort of put in their email and like give them a sticker or something for showing up, and they gave us a banner that said like Liberty on the Rocks sponsored by Coke, so that there was something on the table when you showed up, you knew where the table was. And that was for a little while. There was this sort of like Coke sponsorship of this event, which was confusing, and then all of a sudden the money dried up. And when the money disappeared, the whole event disappeared. And so you went from an event that wasn't sponsored and didn't even need a budget to an event that got shut down because they paid for it.
Can I ask, is it just because it just felt funny after it changed the dynamics? Like, in other words, why couldn't people just go back to meeting spontaneously?
Yeah, it changes the flavor. It changes everything. They want to create, first thing that they want is they want the database. I guarantee you they wanted to have an email
list.
Yeah,
it was about that
guest list. You got to have a guest list. And then it gets, I'm going to switch cameras. I don't know. And then you get, there is this encouragement of one thing or another. We're going to support this, and they do the speakers. It happens at Porkfest. Now you see, you know, Reason and Coke Industries and so on the back wall there. Well, for that sponsorship, they get to pick a bunch of the speakers. We want in the main tent this guy, and this guy. Nobody heard of. Nobody knows what the hell are they? What that? And then it just loses its flavor, and you'll see Porkfest will continue to degrade, and they'll just start to go away.
You know what? I think this is a Doug Stanhope joke, but this is a real phenomenon. This is just human psychology. He has this bit about, you know, he's on a plane, and planes are just this amazing thing. You're on a chair in the sky. Like, people don't appreciate how bizarre it is that you're in this aluminum tube flying through space. And the airline announces, hey, you know, for the first time ever, this is one of those planes that has an internal Wi-Fi network. And everyone gets all excited. They get to have their internal Wi-Fi network. And then, like, people get on and it doesn't work, and the stewardess says, oh, you know what, I'm sorry guys, we're having some sort of a technical difficulty with the Wi-Fi network, I guess we're not going to have a Wi-Fi network on this plane. And then immediately everybody's grumbling like, oh my god, this is the worst flight ever. You know what I mean? Like, it just like, it's like you offered them something sweet and then you took it away, and it spoils the broth.
Or you say, yeah, we got a Wi-Fi network, and put DNA sample in right here.
they would take your credit card or whatever. But it's this psychology that you give someone a bonus and then you take it away, and suddenly the thing they were happy with before, they're not happy with anymore.
Yeah. I don't want to be that guy. I think that was Louis C.K., that particular bit.
All right, good. Thanks.
So, yeah, I just don't want angry people tweeting at us.
I don't remember.
Yeah. That is interesting. I get what you're saying. You're right. There is something about, you know, those fun, spontaneous things. And then someone tries to make it organized and it falls apart.
If you want to kill a movement, try to control it. That is the one thing when we were doing the Levolution, like, Ernie, you should, you know, trademark it and copyright and sell, teach, and kind of do all that with the logo. And I can't believe you didn't. And I go, I tell you, man, you want to kill this movement? Try to control it. I did everything I could to protect it to where anybody could use it. I reclaimed just enough, you know, ownership, for lack of whatever else, of the Levolution logo to make sure nobody could claim it. That was it. It's a peace symbol for all I care. Oh, my God. You know, what's his face? The comedian in the UK wrote that book that used a logo.
But Brand, Russell
Brand.
Yeah,
Russell Brand. Everybody was freaking out that he used a logo in his book, and I'm going, I don't care. It's a peace symbol. Let everybody decide, and it works.
Well, he copyrighted or trademarked it. That was the problem.
Yeah, I don't care. Whatever. The only thing I ever said about it, I went on the Amazon comment and said, yeah, whatever. Logo. So this is, Bob, I'm glad that I wanted Russell to make Brand. Sure that you got this, and we'll get your response in on this. And I just wanted you to have this background so that you understand. Stop. So that you understand that there is a history to this, so you get some context of this, and you can recognize it. It is a repeating pattern, and you're just next.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, but I do want to officially say, you know, Tom and I, we certainly, you know, we don't have a problem with the people who are part of the, you know, they go out in the LP, they like it or whatever. You know, it's just somebody is attacking us out of the blue, and so, of course, we're going to explain that the attacks are kind of out of left field and crazy, but certainly, yeah, I mean, what you're saying makes sense to understand where it's coming from, but I think, you know, we're happy to continue doing the work we're doing, educating people about how the Fed works and, you know, why foreign wars are not a good idea, and certainly the biggest threat right now is not people saying some off-color joke, but the people pushing the war machine.
Well, I mean, you're not going to be influenced by all this dust up and them coming after you. You're not going to change everything. You're not going to be derailed. You're not going to go away. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, come on, man. You're not acting right.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is funny. You know, what are we supposed to do? Like, yeah, our opposition to the police state and, you know, foreign wars, we're kind of already are anti-Nazi. I don't know what more we could do on that score. So.
Well, this is, give us some of the projects and stuff. Now we've done enough of that, and we downloaded and kind of gave you some recognizing factors and the audience to understand that this has been going on my entire experience with the freedom movement. This, and it's the same people. They rebrand it and call it something else, and students, this student group and that student group, and it evolves into another student group and the new technology of the meetup, and we're going to do whatever. It's the same crap. Over and over and over, just a different, you know, some faces, and they bring in some new guys. But I'm telling you, it's the same. And after a while, us older guys, you see the pattern. So ignoring that, what's the next thing for you and Tom and Mises and Rock and Roll and whatnot? What you guys got on your plate?
Well, you mentioned the podcast I do with Tom Contra Krugman, so I encourage people to check that out. We have our big event called the Contra Cruise. So Tom and I are getting ready for that, where we have a week-long cruise, and it's a lot of fun. We do that every year. And, you know, I'm at Texas Tech, as you mentioned. I'm just doing work on the business cycle and the minimum wage revisionism, things like that.
Okay, when we come back, that's what we'll focus on. You know, there's a cruise. Is it a Tom Woods and freaking the MC of all partying, singing, having a good time variety show, Bob Murphy cruise? Well, hell, we got to talk about that when we come back in just a little bit.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the...
Yak, 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 yak. Dude, I had to say something. What? All right. Yes, you did. All right, whatever. These guys yakking.
I had something important to say.
All right, well, say it. There's the microphone. Say it. Is that important? You can't share it with Oakland. You need to bring enough gum for the whole class? You know? All right. We got that through, and that's why I wanted to have you and Tom on, because I knew this would blindside you guys. You didn't know what the hell is going on. But I tell you, I'll bet you Lou and certainly Jeff and Ron know. you know, and they don't want to talk. Ron's going to be on next week. And, you know, off air, I'll ask him, hey, man, I want to get into the time. And he's like, eh, not so much. We'll talk about something else. Because he just has always avoided this. But I know he knows the institutional behind the scenes of what we're really up against. And I first got a – it was Angela Keaton from Anti-War that kind of explained it years ago because her husband then, Brian Doherty, wrote the book Radicals for Capitalism or something like that that had a lot of this history, you know. And then – and she kind of mapped out who's what and where in the stratosphere of – because I asked her, I said – we were out to dinner and I go, do I need to – like, you know, all this heat lightning I see, this glowing in the clouds kind of stuff. The gods are throwing lightning bolts at each other or something. And I go, do I need to peek up above the clouds to see what the hell is it? She goes, no. And I go, good, thank you. One less thing I got to worry about. But every now and then a lightning bolt will come out down to the ground and hit all of us. And when it does, you got to go, what the hell was that for? Why? What role is this playing? What? Because forewarned, you know, it's going to help you out. And I tell you, you're doing the right thing is just ignoring them, screw them, but they will keep coming. And as much as you can ignore and then let us out here, you know, have fun with it or highlight it or go to New Orleans and just grin and giggle or whatever, you know. So New Orleans is going to be a telltale because I saw in Orlando, because I've been around this long enough, they were changing bylaws and, you know, Robert's rules of suspend the rules so I can go in and pass and do and this. And there's all manipulation to the point that I got up and I'm going, look, you see what they're doing with this? What they're doing is on Monday, the reason because the way they're doing the quorum thing, all this stuff, is on Monday, after everybody leaves Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and everybody leaves Sunday night, they still have a business section on Monday, and they're setting this up so that Monday in New Orleans, they're going to bend you over and you're getting done. No Vaseline! And this is happening, so you need to go to New Orleans and plan on your ticket coming back on Tuesday. Because this is going to happen this year, going into the 2020. They got a plan. And I guarantee it, and I'm going to go, neon, I freaking told you so, you know, when they do this, but it's not going to matter. And that was a big criticism they gave. Ernie, if by the time we're able to do and you're keeping us from and everything, it won't matter. I'm going, good. That's my point. You know, this is, man, you just, because of the internet and decentralization and this Hatreon thing and all them closing down and, you know, all the social media trying to limit, and they demonetized Ron Paul's videos on YouTube. What do you got to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's certainly, there does seem to be a concerted effort of various things. So, yeah, I appreciate you connecting the dots and trying to give a theory for it, because like you say, I'm sitting here doing more, you know, academic-y type stuff and just outreach and education, and then all of a sudden,
like I'll give you another point. Southern Poverty Law Center, I had Mark Potok on my show. He's the guy that does their, you know, go get this hate group because we don't like him guy. Well, his director of special projects or whatever, Heidi Byrick, would come on the show. And, you know, I'll tell this on the radio. I'll do it real quick, and then I want to get into your, you know, what's coming in the future. But this is a good point right here. Southern Poverty Law Center. Here we go.
Flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Propagandy. If you want to fool the folks, it comes in handy. If you want to tell some lies, pull the wool over their eyes. You can do it with propaganda.
Propaganda. You can liberate the babies from day candy.
Boy, that's what they be trying to do, man. Okay, real quick before we get, you know, Bob can explain all the future and stuff just so that they know. Southern Poverty Law Center is always picking somebody, and you got to investigate them, and doing law enforcement goes and closes down and shuts down, and it starts the big giant media of they're bad because we said so, and law enforcement, of course, they're bad because Southern Poverty said so. And on the list, I remember this was the MIAC report and so on. If you had a Ron Paul bumper sticker or Chuck Baldwin or even an LP or something, they go get to, you get to pull them over and get a freebie or something and stop them because, oh, my God, terrorists and stuff. Well, when they did that, they had, you know, Ron Paul and Judge Napolitano and Sheriff Mack and Gary Franchi and, you know, a Black Chris with AR-15 and they had all these guys. And I'm going, almost all of those people had either spoken at one of our Freedom Summits, I've had them on the show, we're friends, whatever, and then, of course, we did the Levolution and everything, and I'm going, what the hell I got to do to get on this list? I go, you know, what's up, man? My breath smell bad or something? I mean, what? Of course, I'd qualify you, but I'm going, they said, well, Ernie, and live on the air, okay? They go, Ernie, we didn't put you on the list because we knew you wanted to be, okay? And then they said, and we find libertarianism to be a legitimate philosophy. And I'm going, since when? Okay. So what the hell was that about? So I'm kind of, what's going on? So then you start to see when you got the LP and this whatever money behind them, you know, the Weld and CFR and Coke and all this other crap. And you start to see that, yeah, the LP, I'm getting the impression that it's being used as a tool as long as it's being supported. It's financially, they give them a carrot and promise in the future, and oh my God, and we'll put you in the debates, or you get to have your own debate, or some other BS promise they make, or some money that usually never comes anyway. They always do that so that they are in the crowd. They're controlled that way. They're promised. Instead of being the radical Levolution, when that showed the spontaneous order of just a youth of the country rising up without any control, they freaked out, and it's had ramifications ever since. So they have to go after what they perceive to be any collective group's head of the snake kind of thing, and I can't think of one more than Mises. That's why you guys are going to get targeted.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I guess I could see that. But let me just put it this way. I understand, I've encountered people who say things like, yeah, Bob, you know, I'm okay with you talking about Hayek, but, you know, Mises and Rothbard, they're kind of out there, so let's not focus. I get that. I mean, I think it's a mistake, but I understand where somebody like that could be coming from. But what I don't get is, you know, what I didn't understand until hearing your theory was, why would you go out of your way to antagonize people who might be fans of Rothbard? Because clearly many libertarians with a small L are huge fans, and so that just seemed like you'd alienate, you know, the prime demographic that might go for the LP next election anyway. But
because
I
that philosophy
yeah.
is anti-state,
right,
they don't
want
to be anti-state.
Yeah.
They want to be they're in charge of the state. They're going, look, we'll rule you better, but we're going to rule you. Okay.
Yeah, we'll do it and save money. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So this is, so tell us about Mises. Why? Now that we know that you're, you know, from our estimate, you're a target, man. They're coming after because they can. Why? What is it that Mises Institute represents? Just those names that I mentioned, man, you're like, damn, man, you got some quality. They got to take you down, man, or take the philosophy down, or the people around it down, or you associate with this, you're alt-right down, or whatever. So tell us about it. What makes them so, you think, makes Mises so dangerous to the statist? Why?
Well, because I think we're doing a great job. So for people who don't know, you know, they're located in Auburn, Alabama, the Mises Institute, and their flagship event happens usually in July every year. It's called Mises University, where they get 200 and change, typically undergrads that come for a week long of just learning Austrian economics and then with some applications to libertarian political theory and, you know, foreign policy, things like that. And I think that's why I guess you could say it's so dangerous, because it's really fun. I mean, on the surface, to say I'm going to take a week of my summer vacation to go down to Auburn, Alabama, where it's really hot. Are you kidding me? But the kids get down there and it's just a blast. It's like my favorite week of the year. And I think that's what it is, that we're educating people and, you know, for a small outlay of money in terms of just changing people's lives. And oh, wow, I never saw the world like that before. We're just cranking out, you know, 200 plus new people every year with that viewpoint. And it's not political. That's kind of the thing. Like, we don't care about Washington or who's in the White House that particular cycle. It doesn't really matter. We're talking about, you know, really eternal things here.
All the more why you must be targeted and put down, because you're not emphasizing the importance of you got to go vote for me or who I say for or why I say or whatever. It's all about force. And I'm so glad you guys are there, and I'm glad, you know, you're, you know, uninformed about whatever, but I am really interested. You know, Jeff, Lou, and Ron, I guarantee, know way more than me about this stuff. And they may not know a lot of the down, you know, on the street, how it happens of our experiences here in Arizona and like Davi in San Francisco. But these, anyone that's been in the movement that is, you know, really influential, that's been at it, that's been doing it, that's been, you know, part of it, has seen this. You can see it. You can feel it. It is a forever thing, and they got the money to do it. What? I have no freaking idea, but they want to control to whatever end. And this decentralization of everything, and blockchain, and they don't recognize borders or boundaries anymore, all that. You know, they don't like it. So what's your, you see the future economically as you're making fun of Krugman? Where you think this is going here in the near future?
Well, yeah. So the big thing that I've been focusing on in terms of my work for financial professionals, things like that, is that the Fed and other central banks are announcing that, hey, we're moving towards a tightening phase, that the Fed's, you know, giving more specifics about this is the process and the schedule by which we're going to start letting our bonds, you know, roll off, and the Fed's balance sheet will shrink, you know, getting rid of mortgage-backed securities, treasuries. So, you know, one of the things my business partner, Carlos Lara, has discovered, some of the stuff coming out of the Trump administration about, you know, deregulation and changing some of the Dodd-Frank and all that stuff, it looks like they're trying to come up with ways to induce financial institutions to start absorbing some of this stuff that the Fed's got to get rid of. So, you know, because that's the issue. Like, geez, with all the rounds of QE, they bought on mortgage-backed securities, whatever, to try to save the housing sector. So now if the Fed has to sell all that stuff, is it just going to cause another crash? So the Fed kind of painted itself into a corner. So, yeah, a lot of my stuff now is just looking at, you know, how are they actually going to try to get out of this corner they painted? So ultimately, of course, they can't. That, you know, it doesn't do the economies any favor to create trillions of dollars out of thin air.
No, they got a solution. It's crypto. Bernanke's speaking at a crypto conference. Then they're in. They get it. They're freedom, kind of, sort of, with GovCoin dot whatever.
So yes, I mean, I think all these trends and people are seeing that. Okay, they know that this, having central banks around the world have this monopoly on money, that's a crazy system. It's not going to work. And yeah, just trying to get people to get positioned so they don't get wiped out. The unfortunate thing, of course, is, you know, it's going to be blaming the free market again, no matter what. They're going to say, oh yeah, Trump deregulated the banks and look what happened, which is, you know, crazy. But that's, of course, what the narrative is going to be when it happens.
It doesn't matter if you have a system worldwide that doesn't recognize any borders or boundaries, and all of a sudden funny money becomes $4,500 a Bitcoin or something. I mean, you know, the free market is going to, it's either you have faith in Mises and Rothbard or you don't. Yeah, I mean, so inevitably, what is going to happen regardless of any government policy? What always happens?
Well, I mean, these central planning schemes blow up. So I think the Fed has blown up a big bubble. I think there is going to be another crash. I mean, the timing, you know, who can say? I'm actually surprised they got along this far. So, but again, they're tightening now. And this happened, you know, back before. They were praising Greenspan for being the maestro. Oh, he gave us a strong housing boom in the midst of a dot-com crash. And that blew up and, you know, chickens came home to roost in 2008. So I think they've had a similar pattern, except what Bernanke did is way worse than what Greenspan did. So unfortunately, I think people do need to be ready and just not get wiped out when this crash happens.
Okay, to go and take advantage of, this is one thing I tell people. During the Lovelution, these young people, you go to Porkfest and so on, they were reading on their Kindles, articles from the Mises Institute, on their laptops, tablets, Mises Institute. These guys are up to speed on the economic. That's what started a lot of this. The leaders in this community that are young and now in their early 30s and so on, being influential and raising kids. So where do people go to get this information?
Well, all the stuff I've done, go to consultingbyrpm.com, and the Mises Institute site is Mises.org. So okay. Mises.org.
Mises.org. Boom. Got it right in at the end. Cool. All right. I feel better now that I got to talk. I talk to Ron next week, and maybe he'll share some stuff. But he's usually pretty tight-lipped on this kind of. Yeah, I don't care, you know.
So. Yeah, I mean, because in his, you know, it doesn't. If he is perceived as like starting crap, you know, that doesn't help anybody. So I think, you know, he just wants to be above the fray. But yeah, I'm like I said, I'm glad that you know have a theory, because yeah, it was incomprehensible to me. It just seemed like strategically, why would you do that?
Because they got an itty bitty little space in their chest that they got to fill by pushing you down.
I get it now. So I am glad that I heard your interview with Tom, and I guess I'll listen to Sarwark's just to, you know, to hear from his perspective. Because yeah, I am genuinely curious as to
what pisses me off is when they're whizzing on my back and tell me it's raining. Okay, he goes like this. He says, he goes, well, you keep saying the cocopus, and we've never, Nelpie's never taken them out. I'm going, whoa, who the hell you think you're talking to, man? Well, you think I haven't been around? You want to play this game? You want me to get out tit and tittle and every single freaking anecdotal evidence of like what, you know, Davi was saying? I hear this all the time. You know, like CopBlock, when they had CopBlock.org doing that, a guy named Pete Iyer was one of you. You know Pete, don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Pete used to be in the Coke sphere. He was... outreach for students of Cato Institute for whatever the hell, okay? So once he, you know, he gets a lot of notoriety and everything during the Levolution, you know, it's like, hey, well, I can go over and do it. Absolutely, man, bring it on in and all your girlfriends too, okay? So this, you can see it happen, and they get them in, and then boom, they're gone. There's nothing spontaneous order, and people rising up on their own thing is exactly what they can't have. It creates too much notoriety and opposition to their control. So, like, Cody Wilson was a great guest to have on in the first hour because he's exactly what they want to go after. So when he does Hatreon as a thing to Patreon, he just said, ah, screw it, it's Hatreon. It's just like, yeah, we're pirates without borders. Oh, yeah, go to piratswithoutborders.com. This is our next big wave of, you know, fun we're having. And the first letter of Mark there, it's like 5 minutes to read or listen to. The first letter of Mark, Captain Mark, as in Mark in Reprisal.
Yeah.
M-A-R-Q-U-E. Piratswithoutborders.com. This is going, we're going to sweep the planet with this. It's going to be another Levolution promotion of decentralization of everything, blah, blah, blah. You watch what happens. So yeah, just go take a look at that and you'll get it. But this is, you know, our role in this is just to keep you guys protected. When they start going after Luke and We Are Changed by shutting down channels, when they start going after Mises and you guys, when they start going after Ron Paul, my point in the Levolution was not how many votes I could get for Ron Paul. I don't vote. I don't give a crap. It was how long could I keep him at that podium? How long could you keep him in the race? And we were successful in 8-12 to all the way to being the second to the last guy. Okay. Amazing that we were able to do that. How many minds can we free? And that's what Mises does. How many minds can you free? And I loved working with Jeff Dice because that's a guy, you push button, it makes it go whir. By the time you even get off the phone conversation, you already did whatever it was that you needed done. I mean, just rock and roll. How's he doing over there? How's things going?
Oh, it's great. Yeah. He's got a lot of energy and he's got a lot of, you know, plans for, you know, having Mises to grow in the future. So, yeah, I mean, I've just gotten to know him pretty well over the last few years. And yeah, he thinks everything's hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah, this is, and I'm glad you're there to provide some levity to it because you need some levity because some of this is just needs levity.
Yeah, I get a lot of people say, you know, for an economist, you're pretty funny. So I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult, but either way, I'll take it.
Oh, that's good. I just to keep engaged and entertained. I am just so sick of this. I grinned when I saw this started to bubble up, you know, to my attention on, you know, because I'm not on a lot of the social media and stuff that people think I am. I Facebooked you. I go, oh, there's your first problem right there, you know, because I don't look. But the, so this whole thing, has when they made this target and Nick, because I understood what's going on. You know, these guys, I've been seeing what's happening, you know, especially this Bill Weld thing. That was a neon flashing example of what's going on. And he would tell me, he goes, hey, man, he introduced a bunch of big money. He said all kinds of nice things about it. It's big money. We can get money. It's a money thing. Money. Is that it? Money. These guys go, oh, okay. All right. I get it. You know, so I just control your money. All right. I understand. So this, when they targeted you guys, I'm going, wow, they have no idea, you know, what bear they poked. And there's a bunch of support out here. And anytime any of this kind of stuff, you need a little help, I mean, you guys let me know. Because there is way more that we can do for you than you think.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. And like you say, just to know the big picture, you know, that helps too. Just so it doesn't seem like random out of the blue things hitting
you.
Well,
you know, you should share this with Jeff, Lou, and Ron. They got an opinion. They'll go, yeah, Ernie's crazy, and yeah, not the same the way he thinks, and that's, and kind of, they got a different perspective, I'm sure. But I'm telling you, from down in the trenches as activists, where they go, they're under the radar of most things. They don't have to deal with popular uprisings and institutions and web pages and all this kind of stuff if they get to the people that make it happen before it happens. They co-opt them from the beginning. They direct them from the beginning. They find them from the beginning, so you never even see them. You know, it's guys like Cody Wilson, like us, like the Lovolution. That blew them away. They didn't. What the hell was that?
Well, yeah, I think you're exactly right that they were completely caught off guard by that stuff. People thought, you know, Ron Paul going against Rudy Giuliani, and I put him in his place, and were astonished when, no, everyone kind of responded favorably to all that, to that exchange.
Yeah. Hey, I got to get to my next guest. Bob, thanks for just sitting there and listening to us. And we got to promote Mises and do all this. I'm just setting up the groundwork for this battle that's coming, because I know it's coming. They will not go away. This is
coming. Thanks, Ernie. Okay,
right.
Thanks.
Peace, brother. Bye.